Love. That was a group called Black Eyed Peas. Heard of them? Asking the question, where is the love? This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about what is love, where is love, and who is love. God is love.
Amen.
And wow, already at the beginning of the sermon. But God is love.
Amen.
Right? And it's true. We can relate with Black Eyed Peas because we ask the same question. Where is the love in this world? But we have an answer to that. We know God and He is love. So love is a very confusing word, isn't it? Because we have all the different definitions to what that word means. No words are more used, defined, written, and sung about than love. Right? You would agree with me? No wonder it's misunderstood. Too many definitions always produce confusion, but the love we're talking about in these next few weeks is in the context of discipleship. And discipleship, the love that comes through discipleship cannot be any other love except for that love that is from God. It has to be God's love. So, since we're creating the image of God, we are able to love at a certain level, right? We can only do so much, obviously. We love our spouses. We love our children. We love our parents, our friends, those we like, and those who do us a measure of good, right? If someone does something good, obviously I can love them, right? So we choose to love for a number of reasons, but what about those that we don't like, that we have a hard time loving? Our love doesn't measure up to God's love, obviously. We cannot compare our love with another because our love, the love that we give doesn't measure up to God's standard. And so my love, I'm not going to compare my love to your love or vice versa, or we're not going to compare our love to God because we don't measure up to that standard. So our love has been tainted. It's been corrupted by the fall, by sin. And God's love is very different. It's pure. It's unconditional. We have no clue what this love is or that it even exists unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And so the love that I have for anybody comes directly from God. It's not from me. So if I don't have God in me or if I don't have God working, it's very hard to love. Oswald Chambers expressed it this way: no man on earth has this passionate love to the Lord Jesus unless the Holy Spirit has imparted it to him. The only lover of the Lord Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and he sheds abroad the very love of God in our hearts. And so from the beginning, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were in relationship, and they love each other. Even though they are one God, they are three persons, and so they have a relationship. And so in reality, God didn't need us to love, but he chose to create us to express that love. So God's kind of love is beyond human comprehension. It's just, we can't even understand it. It's so deep and it's so vast. It is not necessarily, you've heard this before, love is not an emotion or a feeling. That's what comes out of it, yes. We have feelings and we have emotions and we have all the butterflies and, you know, talking about romantic love. But, you know, people do things nice to you and you feel loved. And sometimes we have times where we go and we spend time with the Lord and we sense His presence and we feel His love. Right? Those are things expressed that come out of it. And in fact, you've probably heard that love is a decision or a commitment. And it is even beyond that. Love, and this is very profound. I read this week, and I want you to think about this for a minute. It's not a decision, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling. Love is a person. Think about that for a minute. Love is a person. Not you, not me. Love is God. God is love. Now, don't get confused because love doesn't necessarily describe God, right? Because there's perversion. There's the wrong definitions. But true love, real love, God's love, is the example, right? William Jaira, from a book called The God We Have Forgotten, states that the Apostle John says that God is love. And then he says, everything that God is, love is. Everything that God is, love is. Conversely, however, it is not true. It is inaccurate to say that everything that love is, God is. So, God is love, but not everything that we think love is God. Does that make sense? So, love by whose definition? Love by whose experience? Love as modeled by whom? This is what William says. Is the idolatry of our generation. We have deified love. But love by definition or experience or standard of anyone except by the perfection of God is imperfect love. Not genuine love. And anything imperfect is not of God. So imperfection or love that is not God's love is not from God. God is love. And so we go back to Adam and Eve. And they made a poor choice. Last week we talked about trust. And when we're talking about relationships, there are many things we could talk about. But really, the four that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks is trust, love, forgiveness, and communication. And for you and I to have a relationship with anybody, God or our spouses or our friends or our family members, these four things are very, very important to have. Trust is really huge when you're talking about relationships. Love is very important. Forgiveness will continue to either, if you're not forgiving, it will damage your relationships. And if you are forgiving, it will improve them. And then communication, a huge part of relationship. And so Adam and Eve make a poor choice when they walk away from God. For when they did, they walked away from love. They walked away from love. There's no way that they could have true deep love because they walked away from it. And so It is impossible to love someone when there is no one to love. And so God created us so that our love, His love, could be sent through us to love others and to love God. And yet He didn't need that. He wanted to do that. But since God is, I already explained this, the Trinity. But Adam and Eve were created with a seed in their hearts. God created us to bear fruit. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. But the fruit is to flourish and grow and then increase in number. And so that seed that God put in us is His love. He has created us in His image. And sometimes we deny that. Sometimes we repress it. We ignore it. But God has created us all in His image. And with that seed of love to give to others. And it was His desire that His love grow and mature into a fruit that would then multiply. And we're talking about a multiplying movement of discipling others, making disciples. If we are a disciple, we should be making disciples. We should be loving others. And so, when you think of a seed, God has put a seed of love in us. We desire to be loved. And ultimately, I think we desire to love. That's been put in us. And yet, when a seed dies without nourishment of the sun, that's similar to without God in us, that seed of love will eventually die. The image of God will eventually die in us, perhaps. Because God wants to bring us alive and show that love. And so God's love grows only when God, who is love, is in us. And so Galatians 5, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is, first one, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you think about fruit, it says the fruit of the Spirit. That sounds singular. And if you narrowed it all down to what Jesus talked about, He said, it all goes down to this one commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. Love. That is really what Galatians 5 is talking about, is the fruit is love. Everything else pours out of that. If you are truly loving somebody, you will be patient with them. If you truly love somebody, you will not be selfish. You will be gentle, and you will have self-control. And if you love someone, there will be joy and peace between you. And so love is a fruit that requires a relationship with God. For He alone has the ability to grow love in our lives. According to Jesus, one must remain in the vine to bear fruit, and He is the vine. On our own, we are incapable of producing anything, right? In that verse, it says nothing can be produced from us. But remaining in the relationship with Him, we will bear much fruit. Jesus then said, "This is my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." When we bear much fruit, we prove ourselves to be His disciples. So the question is, what did Jesus want the disciples to remain in? In verse 11, I'll get to that passage here in just a second. Jesus tells us, I didn't write it down. Yeah, it's John. Well, that's funny. The vine. I wrote it down here somewhere. Yes, I was going to get there. John 15. I have it here. Okay, John 15. Let's turn there. I know that I have it up on the screen. Or soon. So we looked at this in the past. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. And you go down to verse 5. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. In verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then verse 9, there it is. I have it on my screen here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so his command, his desire, is his hope, is that we would love because he gave us that love and he pours that love through us, and that we would love others. And so that is the fruit. If we remain in him, he will remain in us. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that he died. He sent his Son to die for us. And that's what love looks like, is someone who would sacrifice their life for us. Tim Keller, who is an author, he writes in a book, the book's title is The Reason for God. And he says this, on the cross, neither justice nor mercy lose out, but are fulfilled at once. Jesus' death was necessary if God was going to take justice seriously and still love us. People ask, if God is all about love, why do we have to keep talking about Jesus and the cross? Why can't we just trust that he loves us? It's because only in understanding the cross and the justice and the holiness it represents will we understand God's love. And Tim Keller again says, the answer is that you take away the cross, you don't have, when you take away the cross, you don't have a God of love. When you take the cross away, the God of love is not there. The cross is painful. I mean, we've seen the passion. It's very painful to see someone who went through such pain for us. And I can tell you this generation likes to deny that God is a good God because of pain, because of sorrow, and because, well, look around you. That song right there is saying it in their lyrics. Where is the love? Father, Father, help us. Where is it? And so, but what happens when the pain comes, when pain comes, freedom comes. God went through that pain so that we could be free. Amen. The way we see love is very different than God's love. You can go on to Yahoo or Google or the news, CNN, and you can see stories on what they think love is. And we get glimpses of it, but it's a very foggy picture of what God's love is. And sometimes we think that love is a contract. I mean, that's kind of how we see. Sometimes I'll scratch your back and you'll scratch mine. This is no longer love, but a negotiation. A contract. The world is full of relationships built on obligation and contracts. People think, and trust me, people believe this, you enter into marriage and I give 50% and you give 50%. It's not true. That's not what love is. And maybe it should be, I'll give 100% and you can give whatever you want. And I will still give 100%. That is what God's love is like. That we don't have to give anything. And He gives 100%. No matter what we give, or no matter what the other person gives, we should be giving 100% of love in our relationships. Love is patient. That's a hard one. When our time gets crimped, when we have a task that we want to get done, and somebody is talking to us and it interrupts our schedule, when we are irritated or frustrated or we don't have time for the other person, is that patience? Is that love? I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself here. Okay? Imagine if God became impatient with our sins. And think about it for a minute. The whole world would be wiped out in a day if God was impatient with our sin. Fortunately, His love is perfect. God's love is not controlling, it's not defensive, it's not conditional. He is the essence of love. In fact, He is love. And I want to show you a story of a pastor that is an American pastor, and he's been put in prison. You may have heard of this in the news just recently. It's Pastor Saeed, say it right. And he has expressed how he loves God and how he's giving us an example, how we should love others. So I want you to see his letter. He's gonna read it for us.
February 18th, 2013. Writing from my heart. My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, almost a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison who create another prison within the prison walls, and the death threats. It is interesting that because I am a Christian pastor, I am carefully watched. I am expected to smile at them despite what is being done and to understand why they are doing all of these things. But, of course, I can clearly see what is going on, and because I want to serve God, I see all of these difficulties as golden opportunities and great doors to serve. There are empty containers who are thirsty for a taste of the living water, and we can quench their thirst by giving them Jesus Christ. Maybe you are also in such a situation, so pray and seek God that He would use you and direct you in the pressures and difficulties of your lives. There are those who are enemies of the living Bible and do not want to hear. They are trying to put me under such horrific pressures that are sometimes unbearable, so that they can show me that my faith is empty and not real. And after all of these pressures, after all of the nails they have pressed against my hands and feet, they are only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they will never get this from me. This is why the Bible is truth and they are in the way of destruction. There is another group who does not know the gospel of truth. Instead of truly listening and meditating on God's word, they are just waiting to see how I react to all of their pressures and persecution. What will come out of me during these intense times? But again, this is another golden opportunity for me to shine the light of Christ in this dark world and to let God use me. Yesterday when I was singing worship songs, the head of my cell room attacked me in order to stop me from praising. But in response, I hugged him, showed him love. He was shocked. It is during these harsh conditions that I deeply need God's saving grace so that I can be the fragrant scent of Christ in the dark house of Evan prison. I have often seen the shining morning star in the darkness of this prison, and I have seen his amazing and supernatural works. Oh, how beautiful is seeing the light of the shining morning star of Christ in such evil darkness. So, see your golden opportunities and pressures and difficulties. See the shining morning star of the dark times of your life. I love him. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous to me. I now know that I have not been forgotten and that we are together in this path. God gives me grace. This is my message for the church. Stay strong for his glory. He will come back soon. Be with God and give your best efforts for his kingdom. Pastor Saeed, servant of Jesus Christ in chains for endurance of the gospel. I love you all.
I love how he said in there that he said a couple times, golden opportunities to show Christ's love. And I don't know if you have ever experienced something like an enemy or someone who was angry at you and you went over and hugged that person. And that's kind of what happened. He's worshiping the Lord. The guy's irritated at him for worshiping the Lord. He keeps doing it and tells him to stop. And what does Pastor Saeed do? He hugs him. He embraces him. This is a beautiful picture of what love is. And so when we are in adversity, when we are in times of difficulty, when our enemy is attacking us, we should embrace that enemy. When our spouse, even, and we're in a conflict with them, maybe we should embrace them instead of walking away or attacking. That is what love is. It's patient. It's kind. It's gentle. It's self-control. Right? This is God's picture of what love is. 1 John, chapter 4, it says in this passage alone, in this 14 verses, it uses the word love 26 times. And I believe that the Word of God does not come back void, and so I'm going to read it to you. It does not come back void. So hopefully this, I shouldn't say hopefully, it will change your life. Dear friends, John was a very passionate person. When he talked about love, he talked about it all the time. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Here it is again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I should say that again. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If we say we love God, yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love another. Did you catch the theme? Love. God is love, pure love. None of this thinking that perverted or distorted or 50% love. This is full on God. And so we may ask the question, what is love? There are skits out there on Saturday Night Live asking the question, what is love? It's a video you may not want to see, but no, it's funny. But yeah, what is love? And John, 1 John 4 gives us a clear picture of what love is. We see in many stories, in movies and in books, portraying what we think love is. You know, the knight in shining armor saving the princess, and in so many different ways we see this this love portrayed. And perhaps we wonder, we'd like to be loved like that. We wish that someone would love us in an extreme way, someone who would be willing to throw away the comforts, the security, the fame, the fortune, and risk it all for us. This is what the world is looking for, a passionate, radical, extreme love. And some of us probably would be just okay if someone liked us, or we knew that someone liked us. Right? And some of us have that deep desire to be loved. We have been wired on the inside for such a kind of love. God has wired you that way, to desire to be loved and to love. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And then again, it circles back around. God is love. Love is a person. Not you and me, but a person who is perfect. And He is love. And so, how does that all work together? If you want to be loved, if you want to love, then perhaps you should know Jesus. Because He's the only way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to know love. He's the only way to not fear, to not struggle through life. He's the only way to live to the fullest. And so Jesus is the answer. If you think about, I don't have the blocks today, but if you think about the Legos, they have all these different bumps on top of them. And if you got a Lego that has 8 pegs on top, and you put all those together, you'd have 102,981,500 ways that you could build with those blocks. And so the possibilities are virtually endless. And God's love is endless. the possibilities of showing His love is endless. And so just like Lego bricks, using love to connect with people has endless possibilities. There are a variety of ways by which love can be expressed. Each expression opens the way to even more possible connections and relationships. And so love, Calvary love, was the standard. Just as they had seen, the disciples had seen for 3 years, they were given, they have given themselves in selfless devotion to those whom the Father loved and for whom the Master died. They were given the example from Jesus. And such a demonstration of love through them was to be the way that the world would know that the gospel was true. How else would the multitudes ever be convinced? Love is the only way to win the free response of men. And this is possible only by the presence of Christ within the heart. And so when you know you are loved, you inevitably will love. When you know God's love to the fullest, you will overflow with love. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but seeking the Lord and letting Him fill you up with His love, there's no stopping you from loving others. But when we hoard that, or when we become self-centered or self-seeking, we don't love. We love ourselves, maybe we don't. And so God is love. I want to take a moment for you in meditation, in contemplation, to listen to this song that Mark and Bowden wrote. It's a song that is very moving, I think. And what God wants you to do is He wants you to experience His love today. Do you believe that? Amen. He wants you to experience His love now, today. And once you experience that love, you will never be the same. You will never be the same after you experience God's love. And it's so much easier to love others when you have experienced His love, when you've experienced Him. And so take a few minutes, listen to this song, pray, and just let Him minister to you. Okay? Thank you. Us experience you, Lord, that your love would penetrate into our hearts, that we would know you. God is love, that we would know love, that we would know God, that we would not just stay on the surface, but that we would go deeper in our love for you, that we would fall in love with you again. And so we just pray that you would overflow that in our lives. Help us to experience you this week. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.